Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
I should mention that Richard was did review movies. For just joining us right now, he says that Chris Pratt Lost at Sea movie not worth seeing.
So now you did. You just call him Chris Pratt. And it's Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Get him
Chris Pine movie. One day we'll tell the story of Chris Pine.
Yeah, I don't care. You tell it anytime you want.
Whatever.
We actually had Chris Pine, when Richard and I worked at the other place, we had Chris Pine on the show, and until he walked in the studio, we did not realize it wasn't Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I made, that was me. I was all me. I booked him saying I loved him on Parks and Rec, and I had the wrong guy.
Oh, no.
But it was nice to have Chris Pine on.
Yeah,
it was a pretty good get.
Both good gets.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so that's not worth seeing. But the movie that is worth seeing, but you got to know what you're in for.
Son of Saul, the Holocaust film, Son of Saul, which is going to win Best Foreign Language Film.
All right. There you go. All right, you can check this out now.
Number 5.
Just like the music to blur over everything. All right, today is the 30th anniversary of the explosion of the Challenger, the Space Shuttle Challenger. And, you know, you'll recall that 2 days ago was the 30th anniversary of the Bears winning the Super Bowl. Yesterday is the 30th anniversary of the Bears returning from New Orleans and doing that big celebration in Daly Center. Daily Plaza, and that, you know, right there next to the Picasso, and nobody knew what it was then nor now. And
it's confusing.
And it was like there was such an exultant moment in Chicago. I just remember it was super cold, super exultant. I mean, it just but people were just, you know, it's so unbelievably excited about what was going on. And then the next morning,
it's still climbing. The shuttle is still climbing, but there is a problem. There appears to be a serious problem. What's happening?
Not a word from mission control. Everybody here is open mouthed.
Controllers here looking very carefully at the situation.
Where is the shuttle, Vic? Can you see it?
A major malfunction.
There is
obviously
a major problem.
Malfunction. Something has gone seriously wrong.
This could be
wrong,
a major tragedy.
I didn't realize it was the day after.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize how close it was either. You talk about how high the city must have been and what a low moment.
It was unbelievable, as I recall. It was just, and all the joy of that, you know, was lost. And then, of course, a number of days of trying to figure out exactly what happened. That night, Ronald Reagan went to the TV.
We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
Wow. That was one of his finest moments. Unfortunately, the same thing with George W. Bush. Sometimes among the worst tragedy, you know, they'll rise up. I'm sure you guys have talked about this. You know, at the time, the space shuttle launchings had become so commonplace. That was one of the reasons why they came up with the idea of, like, putting a teacher into space to remind people of the miraculous things that were happening. Because at that time, the networks weren't even carrying it live. I remember CNN was, I think. But I don't know if
they
all
covered
of them
that live.
Because
of Crystal McCullough.
Yeah, the ones before that, they hadn't been covering live. But then, of course, you had every school, every classroom in the country tuned in.
Right. And you felt like you knew each of them because there was so much coverage. I remember being in a classroom as a child, and they came in to tell us there was going to be a moment of silence, that this had happened. And I'm not sure all of us even really understood it, but we knew that there was something serious happening across our nation. And the adults were very somber. And I just remember it. It gives you chills hearing it again.
And then you move forward about a decade and a half, and the Columbia, as you recall, fell apart on reentry.
Yeah.
Right. And those were the first, you know, the United States had this amazing record of safety in space. And basically the Challenger was the first time the astronaut corps was lost in space or in a attempt to space. There had been training missions and things like that that had gone wrong on the ground.
Right.
But you know, even despite how harrowing Apollo 13 was, everybody got back safely. And I think that there was a day that NASA, and you remember that that it was all based on something that no one had ever planned for, which was the O-ring. There was a rubber O-ring that was designed to, you know, separate for static electricity purposes and for cushioning purposes. This rubber O-ring was designed to, in the fuel, in those gigantic fuel rocket area, you know, to the left and the right, there were that get discharged upon liftoff, and then that thing just went because it was too cold in the overnight before.
Oh,
it
wow,
shrunk. The rubber had shrunk from the from the cold. Just an incredible
one part.
Right.
Just a magnificent thing. It's just amazing.
I think they said there were if you count everything, a billion parts to that machine, essentially.
Unbelievable.
So it was that one piece that was it. All right. Okay. Well, that was a moment in American history. Checking in at
number four.
Is that a dramatic pause or for segue purposes?
Yeah, I'm moving number four. I'm moving to number one. Do you mind if I move that? Because I want to get that out of the way.
I'll give you a quick 30-second story as a segue there, too. You mentioned other tragedies, and it was 1967 was the accident on the launch pad. It was Gus Grissom, remember, who was in the right stuff. I remember going down there once as a member of the media, getting like the cool behind-the-scenes tour, and they still have like a tribute there at the actual launch pad. And you go by there, and you see that, you know, you just feel the chills, too.
Yes. Oh, it's a
three astronauts from the original
Chaffee and White.
Yes, thank you.
Chaffee, White, and Grissom. All right. The Oscar diversity controversy has made it to the Oval Office. The president had to share his thoughts with ABC Television's KABC in Los Angeles. And he says that the film industry, like every industry, should try their best to be diverse.
The Oscar debate is really just an expression of this broader issue of, are we making sure that everybody is getting a fair shot? As a whole, the industry should do what every other industry should do, which is to look for talent and provide opportunity to everybody. And everybody's story is told, then that makes for better art, it makes for better entertainment.
You know, they've got that movie coming out about the romance of Barack and Michelle Obama that that was at Sundance. A lot of people don't know Ryan Gosling playing President Obama. When will they learn?
Perfect choice.
When will they learn?
There's actually something trending about Michael Jackson sitting down with Oprah back in 1993, and he says that he would want a black actor to play him.
That's true.
You know, but they were talking about him as a child being portrayed in an upcoming film. And he said that he really wanted, you know, of course I'd want an African-American to play me.
Well, that's not what he's going to get on that British television series, right?
He's getting the guy from Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah.
He's a British dude. He's great.
Joseph Fiennes.
But it's about a road trip. It's a comedy about a road trip with Michael Jackson going on the road with Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando, right?
Yeah, there was a Vanity Fair article, and people still doubt whether or not it really happened, but supposedly right after 9/11, there was no point.
They were all in New York.
No air travel, and they needed to get somewhere, so they all hopped in a car and went on a road trip. It's a great article if you can look it up online.
It's a great story. I don't believe it
either. Debatable whether or not
it happened. I don't believe it either,
But I did see that Angela Bassett says she's going to put in some purple contacts and play Elizabeth Taylor, which I thought was a pretty good line.
I love it. Great line. She'd make a great Elizabeth Taylor.
We will get to your three, your two, and your one. When the number one, by the way, includes a Trump spokesperson who may have even stepped over the line for Trump. Wait until you hear what happened here. Top 5 continues. Checking in at
number three.
Here's a little-known fact. Cockroaches can swim.
Yeah.
However, you wouldn't want to share a pool with them, would you?
No way.
No, but that's what's happening in one Chicago Park District pool on the near south side. The swimming pool at Fosco Park in Little Village is an Olympic-sized indoor pool, and it's one of the newer ones that the park district has built. Right? It attracts swimmers from all over the city, but this parent, Samara Crudup, says it's also attracting...
I honestly didn't know it was so problematic until I had taken one of the chairs to sit in it and was cautioned not to because a slew of roaches had just fallen from the chair onto the ground.
I could see you there, bro.
Oh, my God.
How long you'd last in the pool.
Oh, my God. Oh my!
Although I kind of remember the Y where I grew up. We had some cockroach problems there in the wintertime. They go to the moist places indoors, where it's nice and warm.
Oh,
the locker room.
Get out of here.
It happened.
Martin Shkreli already got mad. The Wu-Tang Clan, Ghostface Killah, and the Feds. Who are you more afraid of, the Feds or Ghostface Killah?
Or Martin Shkreli? Shkreli, however you say his name.
And now he thinks that he's got a beef with TMZ.
You think it's a criminal threat? What are you, a lawyer?
I am. Yeah, actually is. Funny enough.
You know, a man, you know, had some words against me, had some words against him. These things happen in life. It's really not news, you know?
How's the album, by the way?
It's none of your business.
Well, you can at give a review. You don't have to tell us specifically what's on it. But how's the album?
100% none of your business.
You won't even say good or bad, huh?
Nope. I paid the money, so you won't know.
When is that guy going to get punched in the face?
Well, I think it's coming.
Someone's going to do this to them.
Let's not watch the TMZ because it ends every episode with, I'm a lawyer. Harvey Levin, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, so that's Harvey Levin on TMZ taking on Martin Shkreli, the pharma bro, right? The guy that
big pharma who raised the hiked the price on the drug for people with immune deficiencies.
What is with that guy?
And he went on to explain why he would threaten Ghostface on camera when he's facing federal prosecution for securities fraud.
What if people, you know, that are in hip-hop and these guys take it seriously, are you worried about the repercussions of that?
No, they're worried about the repercussions. You saw the video. Get out of here, man. Now you're disrespecting me. He's an old man. You saw me. You saw my boys. I'm a young man. I'm 32. I'm from Brooklyn, too. Just because he was in the Wu-Tang Clan 20 years ago doesn't make him a tough guy.
You worried about the criminal prosecution? Just curious.
No.
Not at all.
No, I'm innocent.
How would he do in prison?
No, I want to know how he'd do in the presidential race right now. It sounds like he's perfect. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Okay, here you go. Speaking of that, Katrina Pearson has been a spokesperson for Donald Trump. She's an attractive woman. She does a lot. She does all the cable news stuff. And she has this undying, she stays on message. She looks intensely into the camera and stays on message and defends almost anything.
She's very attractive.
But now she has to defend herself. CNN earlier, she was on there today to defend the fact that Donald will not be attending the GOP debate. This is what she said. This is in her official capacity.
Well, you know, there's always going to be detractors, Jim, but this isn't negotiation, foreign policy or warfare or ISIS for that matter. This is a Fox News debate. Mr. Trump has done a Fox News debate. He's done six debates and he's done several events, he's the most accessible candidate that there is. He's had the most town halls. He has press conferences, answers all the tough questions. This decision was made because Fox News outed themselves as a biased media organization against Trump.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. There she is doing her job as a spokesperson. Mm-hmm. But then the tables turned just slightly. She was asked by the CNN anchor about some tweets that she put out during past elections, including this one in 2012, about Barack Obama.
Both the wording of those, but also the allegation in effect there. How do you defend those tweets?
Well, absolutely. You know, as an activist, we spend most of our time, particularly in 2012, fighting off liberal activists and other establishment activists. So, of course, you can pull any of those tweets out of one of those heated discussions because a lot of time it's in the sphere of fighting off other liberal activists.
In that tweet, she refers to the President of the United States as, and I'm quoting the tweet now. Mm-hmm. This is important. Mm-hmm. Head Negro in charge.
She didn't want to talk about that, I'm sure.
She's also the one on a podcast who said that with Romney's dad being from Mexico and Ted Cruz being a Canadian, that we just can't get any pure breeds.
That's
anymore.
Right. She was the pure breed.
And she's
she was Ted Cruz's spokesperson in 2012. Yeah.
And
in
she
2010.
Comes from a biracial union. And yet she said that we're not going to get any pure breeds. Where have all the pure breeds gone?
Was she talking about pure breed in terms of ethnicity or in terms of being a Republican, you know, like a real?
I've never heard someone say he's a purebred Republican, so you can draw your
own
conclusion.
It's just so weird for someone who's of that background to even use that in that way.
Good. The fact that, and this is the interesting thing about this, that her answer to that, you know, how could you say head Negro in charge, and what does that mean? It got very, very, she's saying that she got into a battle with somebody on Twitter, and then, you know, it gets very emotional.
That's no excuse. It doesn't. But that's the classic Trump thing that he does. She says he answers all the tough questions.
Oh my God.
No, he answers them in whatever way he wants to.
Right, he doesn't answer
Go back
the
to
question.
The original question that Megyn Kelly, a legitimate question about all his horrible remarks about women, he never answered the question that night.
Oh, my God.
He made a all joke right. about Rosie, you know.
Oh, God.
This is an exhausting top five at five.